Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go to the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline on this Wednesday morning and say good morning to Dr. Michael Osterholm, the director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Osterholm, good morning.
Good morning to you, David.
Boy, when we talked Monday, Mike, I said I'd bring this up because you are a great fan of Gopher Athletics, I know, and I saw that the NCAA had released a long and detailed plan on Friday to help schools bring back the athletes during the pandemic back to campus. And I just want to get your thoughts as to what you think the plan should be, or do you think we'll be able to have the kids back on campus in the fall?
Well, you know, our recommendation from our center has been that we really need to plan as if we're going to go full steam ahead, and live our lives as we had normally lived them, with the idea that we are able to, you know, stop the dime and give back 9 cents change, meaning we don't know what the future is going to bring. I think within the context of that, the universities are planning some pretty creative things. I know at the University of Minnesota, the plans are still in the works, possibly bringing students back to campus earlier, doing things like block education, where we basically intensify coursework in one area for several weeks and get that class done and then move on to a second one. So it's how somehow the semester gets separated because of having to either cancel classes or to reduce on-campus contact are all there. I think the sports issue is a more difficult one because there we're talking about inherent crowds bringing people together. And then the NCAA is talking about how can this be done more safely. The student athletes being able to participate with or without the crowds. And so there's a lot of work going on right now, and we surely need to find a way to involve us citizens back into everyday life at the same time mindful of what this virus is doing.
Yes, I thought I saw where Iowa State was proposing, at least hoping to propose, a third of tickets sold at their stadium for football.
Yeah, I mean, everyone is kind of coming up with their own creative approach. And, you know, I give everyone credit for thinking about that. None of us have the answer. As I've suggested to you on this show before, this virus is going to do what it's going to do. And we're at best going to try to be able to shave down cases if we see these big peaks. So the challenge is what will it be like over the summer? You know, my worst fear, which I've shared multiple times, is we see the cases be reduced substantially. I mean, basically almost disappear. That may seem counterintuitive, but what that would tell us was that the virus is really acting on its own, what it's doing in terms of transmission of the population, which is exactly what a flu virus does during influenza pandemics. We see a first wave that lasts several months. The virus tends to go away. We don't know why. We don't know where it goes. We don't know why we see reduced cases overall. And then it comes back typically 2 to 3 months later with a much, much bigger second wave than even in the first wave. And so, you know, we're still in that phase of trying to understand what's going to happen. I mean, we're right now just in a 14-day period trying to figure out what's going to happen with cases relative to all the protests we've seen and all the people who have come together in these large crowds. I can't even tell you 14 days from now for sure, is that going to lead to a big increase in cases or not, because most of these people are outside. Did that have a big impact on reducing transmission? We just don't know.
Doctor, what is the latest on the research for a vaccine?
Well, you know, the challenge we have today is that the public, if they listen to all the news stories in one day, you could go from we're certain we're going to have lots of vaccine by the end of the year to we may never have a vaccine. And if they're confused, welcome to the world of COVID vaccine work, because we have all those different points espoused every day. Clearly, we're working on vaccines. There's over 120 of them that are in the works. It's very possible that we could have some evidence that a vaccine works by the end of the year. Whether that means any vaccine will actually be distributed, I think is highly, highly unlikely. On the other hand, there are reasons to be concerned that even if we get a vaccine, it may not be that effective. You know, much like our current seasonal flu vaccines were, you know, in a good year, if we get 50% protection, that's a good year. We may have much less protection with these vaccines. And in particular, in those high-risk populations, we need them to work most, which is unfortunately what we see with influenza vaccine too. So the challenge is not just getting a vaccine. If everyone could imagine that we could get one that would work 95 to 98% of the time, we'd have it by the end of the year, I think we would all feel, wow. But I think we're a long ways from that. And you're hearing more people now in the flu vaccine, in the COVID vaccine world, more or less broadcasting, you know, dampen down the idea that we're going to have this very highly effective, safe vaccine by the end of the year. And just we have to prepare for as if we're not going to have it.
You're one of the first ones to clarify contact tracing for us several months back, Dr. Osterholm. Any news on that? Any thoughts on that right now?
Yeah, we actually just put out a document yesterday from our center on contact tracing in which we brought back some of the very senior learned people of public health from the CDC and from other state health departments who have spent their entire careers working on things like contact tracing. And, you know, I'm fearful that we're losing sight a bit of what can actually be done with contact tracing realistically. What should we be targeting? How should we do it? And this report really goes into that. It's just like smart testing, the report we put out several weeks ago. You know, the test, test, test mantra was just wrong. We needed for testing to have the right person tested with the right test at the right time with the right result for the right outcome to do something about it. And yet we see over and over again mindless testing that the results don't even get back to the person who got tested because they didn't collect the basic information of who they were. That's just a fundamental error that's just so simple. The same thing is true with contact tracing. You know, I feel like it's almost a poker game right now, you know, where somebody puts a number on the table and calls somebody and they'll put more on there. The more contact tracers you have is not at all necessarily a function of how well it works. It's all about how targeted it is, how what you're able to do about it. Can you actually stop people from transmitting to others by having identified contacts? And this document goes into some detail. So I'd urge the listeners this morning, if you want that, you can go to our website, the SIDRAP website at the University of Minnesota, and that document really lays out what we must be doing planning for contact tracing. Right now, I'm concerned around the country. I think it is not focused in the way that we need it to be to have the most public health impact.
Dr. Osterholm, never enough time, and I always have a million questions, but I appreciate your time here on this Wednesday morning per normal. Have a good, safe week, and I'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, David. You too. Thank you. Bye.
Dr. Michael Osterholm, University of Minnesota Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy there at the U of M, author as well. If you haven't read it, Deadliest Enemy, Our War Against Killer Germs, is available. Wrote that back in 2017 and kind of predicted what was happening right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.